Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Appreciate you spending some time with us today. Here's the plan for the next week or so. I have a very special episode coming later this week. It is one of my favorite guests. It is an annual treat. We've done this for the last several years. Derek Brown and I are going to be going over our must-have players for 2023. I love that one. It's the guys that we're going out of our way to get in drafts. But there's also a lot of news. There's a lot of developments coming out of OTAs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you caught up on my thoughts on the changes around every team, what we're hearing over the last few weeks, over the last month, let you know what I'm thinking, what I'm noticing. And because that's going to take a while to do, we're going to break it up over a few shows. So the first one is this episode. I'm going to talk about the NFC South. I'm going to talk about the NFC West. And then we're going to hit on two more teams each show over the next week, with the exception of that episode with D-Bro. Like I said, we'll talk about must-have players on that one. So lots of content coming for you. Really, it's a good way to get everybody on the same page before we head into that summer lull that happens kind of the end of June, early July, before training camp begins. Now, I have the June editions of my redraft rankings and my Dynasty Trade Value charts. Those are up over at the Score. And for everybody who's been asking about where the fantasy section is on the app, it's moved around a little bit. We have a link to it at the top of the NFL section for the time being. I want to make it as easy as possible for everybody to get my content, so you can find it in a couple places. But the top of the NFL section, that's the main one right now. Or there's links to my articles over my Twitter feed at Justin Boone. You can get everything there too. But let's get into my biggest takeaways here from OTAs for the NFC South and the NFC West, and we will start with the Arizona Cardinals, and specifically, we will start with a player who is no longer on the Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins. So they desperately tried to find a trade partner over the last couple months. Then the Cardinals just decided, you know what, we're going to release him outright. I was off last week. We didn't get a chance to discuss it on the show, but it's not really that surprising at this point. His contract was likely part of the issue that prevented a trade, and Arizona decided, you know what, we'll take the full cap hit this year. We're not going to split it over future years. So to me, that's a sign that this team might not be that competitive this season, right? Their defense looks really bad on paper. The offense is going to be without Kyler Murray for at least part of the season. So it'll be Colt McCoy. Maybe we'll see rookie Clayton Tune get his shot at some point. Either way, not great news for their outlook in real life or in fantasy. Now, it does bump Hollywood Brown up a bit, but he's still in that boomer bust wide receiver three range. Could see him get a little bit higher than that, but because of the quarterback situation, because of the uncertainty with Kyler Murray, I don't feel that great bumping Marquise Brown that much higher. Now, Rondale Moore, he was targeted pretty heavily when he was healthy last year, especially when Hopkins was out. So I would expect that that's going to occur again. Now, he posted double-digit fantasy points in 5 of the 7 contests that he suited up for before he got hurt last year. And he was a top 30 fantasy wideout during that stretch. So I have him as a sneaky wide receiver 4 flex. And then rookie Michael Wilson is somebody that I think he is a very smart round 3 rookie dynasty pick. Might be worth a late round stash even in redraft. We got to keep an eye on him. I mean, he dealt with some health issues in college, but talent wise, he has the ability to become a solid pro, and he's already getting some buzz in camp, so you like to see that. I know a lot of people are going to look to Greg Dorsch. He's somebody that came through for fantasy last year some weeks, had a couple big ones there, but Dorsch's performances, they kind of came when other wideouts were sidelined, right? Including Rondale Moore. If you look, it kind of matches up for when Rondale Moore was out. So Dorsch is, in my mind, a long shot to be fantasy relevant again, unless something happens to one of those top 3. You look at the tight ends on this team. I mean, it's pretty tough to gauge because you have Zach Ertz coming back from a serious injury. Might see more 2 tight end sets with the new coaching staff there with Ertz and Trey McBride. But we'll have to see where Ertz is at in his recovery come training camp. I'm not really overly excited about either guy just based on the situation in that offense right now. I still like James Conner though, and I think he is an intriguing running back. I mean, depending on your build, he might not stay healthy all year. We know that, but there isn't much competition for touches in that backfield. And when he's been healthy, he produces like a top 15 fantasy back. So I wouldn't forget his name when you're in drafts. I wouldn't be afraid to take him as your RB2. I mean, he is just going at a massive discount. You can get him outside the first 6 or 7. seven rounds right now in best ball. That is a great pick in my mind. I could see him outproducing a lot of names that are above him in my rankings, but there is some danger to him and to this offense. The other thing that I'll say before we leave the Cardinals here is that the interest in DeAndre Hopkins on the free agent market has not been as hot and heavy as I expected. So that makes me a little wary of him. I mean, you have an older receiver who got popped for PEDs last year. You have teams not really falling all over themselves to sign him. Makes me question his outlook a bit, and I've moved him down the ranks because of it. I see him more as a risky wide receiver three for fantasy now, in my opinion. But there are some teams that do seem to be interested. I mean, the Browns have been rumored, potentially reuniting him with Deshaun Watson. That would be kind of interesting. Hopkins is visiting the Titans today, and the Titans could definitely use some help. And we know they have an affinity for washed up older receivers, right? Just remember the Julio Jones experiment from a couple years ago. So we'll wait to see where he ends up. But I will say for now that I'm not as optimistic about his fantasy possibilities as I was before. Let's move on here. The Los Angeles Rams. A couple things to mention with the Rams. The first thing in the receiving core, it's kind of wide open behind Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson, he should have a spot locked down, but the rookie, Puka Nacua, he is getting a steady drumbeat, positive reports coming out of camp about him. Kupp even spoke about him the other day, so he's a name to monitor. He is someone that you could target in the late rounds of rookie drafts, and I think he's a pretty good pick there. Not really on my radar yet in terms of redraft, but could get there sooner rather than later. I think he has some Robert Woods-like skills. Not expecting much out of him in 2023, but it's not out of the question that there's such a big hole in this passing attack that he could step up and actually become a fantasy option. They really just need Matthew Stafford to stay healthy for anyone other than Cooper Kupp to put up some big numbers there in the passing game. And then in the backfield, Cam Akers is somebody that you're going to hear me talk a lot about. I mean, I probably already have talked a lot about him this offseason. I was totally out on him last year, the Achilles injury from 2 years ago. Didn't think he'd be able to come back and put up big numbers in 2022. But by the end of the year, he had regained his form. In the second half of last season, he averaged the eighth most fantasy points at running back over those last eight games, including four straight contests with at least 100 yards from scrimmage to end the season. Now, there has been talk. I mean, they have Kyren Williams out there splitting some of the first team reps in practice with him. Don't worry about that. We're talking about May and June practices here. I know they went out, they got rookie Zach Evans. It was a late pick. I like Evans quite a bit. He could factor in, but Akers is still set up to be a really solid RB2 for fantasy, maybe even more if this offense can find its rhythm with a healthy Stafford. So we'll be watching to see what the beat writers are saying about this backfield split, but right now, Akers is one of my favorite picks this year. Over to the San Francisco 49ers, and we'll get to the quarterback thing in a second, but I want to talk about a couple other players first. Brandon Ayuk, he is showing out. He is really winning over any doubters, though I can't imagine that there's that many doubters at this point. Ayuk, one of the most underrated receivers in the league, even though he's coming off his first 1,000-yard campaign, just a great value pick right now. His teammate Deebo Samuel, he copped to the fact that he really didn't show up in the best condition last year, so maybe we will see a better version of Deebo this season, but the arrival of Christian McCaffrey, I think that had something to do with Deebo's dip in production too, because CMC can handle some of those same touches, so Deebo's ADP, little bit high at the moment. Now, if we look at the backfield, Elijah Mitchell, he's dinged up. He's sitting out. So Jordan Mason, he's been getting some extra run. I would still expect that Mitchell's going to be the number two back, but if he can't stay healthy, and so far he's had some issues with that, Mason is a must add on your bench. We know how these Shanahan backs just seem to find a way into fantasy production every year. Mason could be that guy if injuries open the door for him this season. And then the QB situation, that's what we really need to talk about. Brock Purdy, he is throwing again, albeit it's in very limited fashion. This is just the next step in his rehab. All signs are pointing towards him being ready either sometime in training camp or at worst, pretty early in the season, barring any setbacks. If he can't go, we're witnessing this open competition between Trey Lance and Sam Darnold. Kyle Shanahan said that was going to be the case. They are splitting the first team reps. I know that there was that clip of Lance overthrowing a ball boy during a drill, but George Kittle, he spoke about just how far Lance has come. And I really think that Lance and Darnold are both capable of leading this offense. It's kind of the system, right? It kind of allows every quarterback to look a little better than maybe they even are. So even a guy like Sam Darnold that struggled in some other places, he could be a fit and he could produce in this offense. And I feel like Darnold probably will be the guy. I think if Brock Purdy can't go, Darnold will be the number two in this offense and Lance will likely be moved. I think the organization just doesn't seem to love Lance, and they've identified Purdy as their QB1. They've said as much that when he's healthy, he is going to be the guy. So unless Darnold falls on his face, I still expect that Lance's future is going to be with another organization. Regardless, for Dynasty, I think both Purdy and Lance have value. Darnold, just an injury stash for the early part of the season. And if Purdy turns out to be healthy, then he's a significant value in drafts right now. He should be going ahead of Lance in all formats, even though I do still believe that Lance has the higher ceiling if he were in the right situation, and I don't really believe that San Francisco is the right situation for him anymore. So I made the move to put Purdy above Lance a couple months ago, and it's going to stay that way moving forward until we see a significant change or maybe Lance end up on another team. We'll round out the NFC West with the Seattle Seahawks, and nothing really notable that moves the needle in Seattle. Mostly just keeping an eye on the high-profile rookies, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Zach Charbonnet. See how big their roles could be in year one. Both guys have gotten a lot of positive reports so far, but we got to remember they got serious competition for touches. JSN, it's in the form of DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Charbonnet, we know Kenneth Walker in that backfield. And both rookies could be huge parts of this offense in 2023. Don't get me wrong. I know Tyler Lockett did talk about the screen game being an area that they could improve in this season, and Charbonnet might be more suited to that role than Ken Walker is. So bottom line, the Seahawks are loaded on offense. You're going to want pieces of this attack, maybe starting with Geno Smith, who is a borderline QB1 in fantasy. Another big year coming for Geno and company. All right, how about the NFC South here? We'll start with the Atlanta Falcons. Bijan Robinson being used all over the formation in practice, as he should be. Such a versatile weapon. When you take a running back that high, you better have a plan to get the ball into his hands as much as possible. Bijan is settling in comfortably as a top five back in my rankings. I wouldn't be surprised if, and this is going to sound crazy, it would not shock me if he finished as the RB1 overall this season. That is how good he is, and that is how good this situation is for him. I mean, just look back to what they did last year with Tyler Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson and some of those guys that stepped up, even Caleb Huntley at one point. I mean, Bijan is just leaps and bounds ahead of them talent-wise. It's going to be a perfect scenario for him fantasy-wise this year. Kyle Pitts, he's sitting out with a knee injury, not expected to be an issue. He should be ready for camp. And let's not forget Pitts. I mean, I feel like people are almost starting to undervalue him now. Maybe he was overvalued before. Now I think he's being undervalued a little bit. This is a guy that had over 1,000 yards as a rookie tight end 2 years ago. And I say tight end loosely. I mean, he's really a receiver, and he grades out as a pretty darn good receiver too. I mean, I'm not saying a pass catching tight end. Let's be clear. He is on par with some of the best wideouts in the league. He got hurt last year. He dealt with Marcus Mariota, who was just awful. I mean, Pitts actually led all pass catchers in uncatchable targets thrown his way last year. So let's hope that we can see a bit of an improvement here with Desmond Ridder under center. I'm not the biggest Ridder fan, but it can't really get much worse than what it was last year at quarterback for this team. So Pitts is an intriguing pick this year, in part because you don't have to pay that premium for him. You can get him in the sixth round or so now, unlike last year when he was going up in the third or the fourth. So that's a better value for him, definitely. On to the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young, just in command of this offense. The accuracy is showing in practice. So that's great news. Whether he can be a true fantasy factor as a rookie, we'll see. But those are all positives. Those are all things that you want to hear from a young rookie quarterback taking over. Hayden Hurst, he's coming back from offseason hernia surgery, but he's back at practice already. Doesn't seem like that's going to be a concern. He's in that mix of sort of low-end tight end twos that are a little bit intriguing, that wouldn't be that surprising to see them have a good year, maybe have a nice touchdown total and get up into the top 15 or maybe even the top 12, but have Hurst on your late-round tight end list. A real interesting thing here is going to be this receiving core, though. Does Adam Thielen have something left in the tank? I know the team was hoping that the route running, that it would pair well with Bryce Young's accuracy, that it would give him a reliable veteran target. So maybe that does pan out and Thielen's got one more kick at the can and can give us a decent fantasy season. Can DJ Chark get healthy after undergoing ankle surgery? He's been a proven producer a couple times at different destinations. Is Jonathan Mingo the team's long-term wide receiver one? And how fast can the early second rounder carve out a role in this offense? We also have some beat writers predicting a breakout for Terrace Marshall this year. And Marshall had over 50 yards in 5 of his last 10 games in 2022. And Frank Reich is even talking about using LaVisca Chenault like Debo Samuel. And there's no denying that LaVisca has the ability to be sort of Debo light, but will the team actually give him a big enough role to make him fantasy relevant? Or is this mostly just off-season fluff? And we don't have these answers yet, but I'm grabbing shares of all these guys. You can get them all at really good values. And I even scooped up LaVisca off the waiver wire in a couple dynasty leagues. I think it's worth it just because we will know very early in the season whether he is going to have that big role or not. I don't think it's going to be huge, but maybe. I really like the talent. Maybe this is finally going to be the time that he gets a chance to produce. And I like Mingo as the long-term star here. I've been high on him all offseason. He's got the traits to be a decent number one or maybe an overqualified number two option in an NFL offense. I know all the metrics don't back him up, but the draft capital, the landing spot, that made me feel good about my pre-draft analysis on him. The New Orleans Saints, and we haven't really gotten any clarity on the Alvin Kamara situation, so keep drafting Kendre Miller and Jamal Williams. They're going to be able to put up some games for you because a Kamara suspension, maybe in the range of 6 games, that's still a possibility. Long way to go on that, but it could come down at some point over the summer. Juwan Johnson continues to impress in practice, which shouldn't surprise fantasy managers. I mean, last season from week 6 on, he averaged the 8th most fantasy points among tight ends last year. He's a sneaky candidate to post low-end tight end 1 fantasy stats again, especially with improved quarterback play in New Orleans, which we think should come in the form of Derek Carr. At receiver, Chris Olave, he's getting rave reviews. He's a potential superstar in the making, just getting a little overshadowed by Garrett Wilson, who had an outstanding rookie season last year, but that takes nothing away from Olave and what he did in his first year. Michael Thomas was back at practice this week, which that's a great sign, but we still have to be skeptical whether he can get back to full health and stay there for a prolonged period. Now, that being said, he vows to be ready for training camp, and when he's out there, he still does move the needle. I mean, in the first 3 games last season before he got hurt, he posted stat lines of 5 for 57 and 2 touchdowns, 6 for 65 and a touchdown, and 5 for 49. So he's worth a dart throw if he falls to the 9th, 10th round. I kind of like him in that range, but don't get your hopes up too high for him. And if Thomas isn't healthy, then you look to guys like Rashid Shaheed or even the rookie A.T. Perry. They should be on your watch list. Both wideouts can play. Shaheed, he showcased that in limited action last year, was mostly used as a part-time weapon early in the season, but then down the stretch, he played over 50% of the snaps in each of the final 6 games, averaged 63 receiving yards per contest in that span, and he's getting highlighted nonstop by beat writers around the Saints during OTAs. And then for Perry, he's a day 3 rookie, but he could slot right into that Thomas spot in 3 receiver sets if Thomas misses time and if the rookie can earn the trust of the coaching staff over the summer. So a couple ifs there, but I love Perry as a late round rookie pick in Dynasty. And then the last team that we're going to talk about today, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I want to say this, it's important. I remind everyone every single year, we should know by now, don't overreact to these short clips that come out during practices one way or the other. I mean, players, they're going to have bad reps, right, in practice, and the coverage is just so extensive now, so you're going to see videos circulate, and people just lose their minds over one bad throw or one drop pass, or the opposite, the guy catches a touchdown going up against an assistant coach or something, and people are going nuts about it. You know, even so, I will say, it's not a great look to have both Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask struggling in practice, overthrowing receivers, but what did you expect? I mean, these guys aren't great quarterback options. I think that Baker's going to win the job. I think his fantasy numbers might be saved a little bit. And by saved, I mean, you know, low-end QB2 kind of just bi-week replacement level type numbers. But they might be saved a little bit by the talent that's around him. You have Godwin, you have Evans, you have some good receivers that can help lift him up a little bit. And by the volume that this offense is going to have in the passing game. It's not going to be 700 plus attempts like we saw from Tom Brady last year, but this is going to be a volume passing attack. So Chris Godwin's healthy now. He said as much. He feels like the explosiveness is back. Mike Evans, He's chasing, what is it, his 10th straight 1,000-yard season, I think, at this point. Now, the degree of difficulty is going to be turned up big time this season to see if he can get back there, but I think he's a player that you have to just trust that he's been able to produce over so many years, so many different situations. He's a guy that I think you could still put your faith in again, and you're going to get him at a much cheaper cost than you have previous years. And then you look a little further down the depth chart. I mean, Trey Palmer is an interesting rookie to watch. Could be a possible third option. He'll have to unseat Russell Gage, but Palmer has the speed. He could help open things up underneath for guys like Godwin and Evans and their young tight end, Cade Otton, as well. Now, Palmer himself, he's more of a long-term dynasty stash. It doesn't really fit with the current quarterbacks, but might be in a better position next year if we see one of these top wideouts move on somewhere else. Or if the Bucs do get a quarterback upgrade, which, let's face it, they're going to end up getting somebody next season that's better than what they're putting out there this year. And then in the backfield, Rashad White, he seems very confident in his abilities. I can't say that I feel the same. He might excel as a volume fantasy play, but we're going to see someone else work into the mix with him, whether that's Chase Edmonds or Sean Tucker or a veteran that they signed before the season. So I'm still tempering my expectations on White. He's more of a high-end RB3 in my projections. This offense, it's going to have its issues, and to me, White doesn't profile as a bell cow back. It's not impossible that he could step into that role, but far more likely that they're going to find a running mate for him. And that's where I'm going to call it for this one. That is all for today's show. Go and check out my updated rankings, my updated trade value charts. All that stuff's available for free over at The Score, or you could take a look at it on my Twitter page at Justin Boone. And like I said, I will be back with Derek Brown later this week. We'll be going over our must-have players, that episode, which I love so much every year. But until then, big thanks to all the firefighters who are trying to get those wildfires in Quebec and Ontario under control. I know it is just devastating at a local level. It's also impacting folks much further away. I mean, the smoke is causing problems across parts of Canada and the eastern states in the U.S. So big thanks to everyone who's battling those fires. And be mindful of the air quality in your area. It might not seem like a problem, but like anything, some people are more at risk than others, like older folks and children and pets. So be smart out there. And wherever you are, I just want to say big thanks to everybody for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time. My baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. I said leave on time.